I have concepts of a plan.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. I heard that concepts of a plan. We had a concept of a plan, didn't
we? Did.
Quite come together today. How are you guys? Nice to
Great.
See you on a beautiful Wednesday. We're late for our guest who's been patiently waiting for us, so we're going to get right to him today because we're going to start the show today talking about something I need a tutorial in, and it's fantasy football. And the book is right here. It's called Inside Fantasy Football. The author is Peter Funt. And Peter joins us now, and it's very, very interesting to talk fantasy because I've blown it once again. Peter, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us today. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, fantasy is part of my life in many respects, but focus on the football part.
Yeah, and then we'll get to the last name because people that were around during the heyday of TV way back in the day would remember that last name, Funt, and I think I've given it away right there, but we'll get to that in just a second. I want to start with this is the year that I decide I'm going to go all in with my 11-year-old son. And I'm going to dive in, and I'm going to go on.
Can you please describe going all in? Because you didn't
going really, all in for fantasy football.
You didn't start your draft until after the first game was played.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't do that because I don't profess to be a knowledgeable person in the area of fantasy football.
I see,
and that's why I'm glad we have Peter on the show.
I think today, Mike, we should call it Funtasy Football.
I think we should probably give you the quiet game for the rest of the show today.
All right.
That might
duly
be fun.
Noted. Duly noted.
So anyway, because this is something you've played before, Rob, but you don't,
sure.
You know, sports aren't your thing. I have to say where I am now, we go to Josh's, what was it, Yahoo? That's the one you recommended that I go to? Yeah. Josh, I can't hear you. Can you hear Josh, Rob?
No, Josh appears to be muted.
Yeah, but we're just having a technical day. It's a hurricane in the whole state of Florida. What can I
say?
Yeah,
it is.
And then I do a draft with him, and then I thought it was going to kind of automatically put my team on, and here I am. This is where I sit, three games into the season, and I have no idea what I'm doing, Peter.
You
but I'm going to ask you
a concept of a plan.
I had a concept of Peter. First question. So I don't have my team that I drafted at the beginning of the year is moot. You can do this every week, right? You can put a fantasy team out there every week and be perfectly happy. Would that be accurate?
It would, because fantasy football has grown to a point where there are so many variations of the game. You can play it seasonally, which I think is what you were attempting to do, but you can also play it daily, weekly. My goodness, they've got it down to a point where you can do it hourly during the games if you want to.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff now under the umbrella that's called fantasy football.
I went right to, I guess you'd call it the glossary of the fantasy terms. All right, I'm going to go to the first one that I have no idea about. A bell, okay. And I am not reading the answers here. A bell cow running back. What is a bell cow running back?
Oh, boy. And I think...
Oh, you don't even know your own glossary.
Oh, sure I do. I'm just noting that there's like 700 terms in that.
It's ridiculous, ending. Peter. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so bell cow running back refers to a guy on a team, on an NFL team, who plays almost every down. Instead of dividing the work among several running backs,
right,
the bell cow is the guy who gets almost all the action.
Would Derrick Henry be a bell cow running back?
Yes, yes, okay. Indeed.
See?
And before he got injured, Christian McCaffrey last year was arguably the best bell cow back of almost all time, certainly modern time. But the problem for those of us who follow fantasy football is that there's fewer and fewer of these bell cow backs. More and more teams are dividing the work between different guys. And that makes it hard for fantasy managers to figure out who to play, who to put in their lineup, because it changes from week to week. So there you go. That's bell cow.
You pass with flying colors. Beautiful. And in the beginning of your book, you talk about the idea of, I think it's an owner or a guy that had trouble with his team came to JFK Airport, and he was just so broken up about the talent of his team that in order to make the game more interesting, and this is where I fall into being a New York Giants fan, yeah. I need to have something, because I know the Giants with a victory over the Cleveland Browns, that's not going to hold up. They're playing Dallas. They're going to get their ass kicked this weekend, probably, and I need something to bring me joy. A good resurgence of fantasy football would be helpful. And isn't that really what it's all about, is making the entire league, not just the team you root for, making it interesting for everybody, because everybody's involved, right?
The reason the NFL now loves fantasy football, as well as do the media and the wagering companies and almost everybody connected with it, the reason they love it now, Mike, is because we're rooting for players, not for teams.
Right.
So even if you have one player on a lousy team, and I don't want to put the Giants in that category necessarily.
Why would you?
But let's say Devin Singletary is your running back.
Right.
You don't really care necessarily in a fantasy sense what the Giants are doing or how badly they're playing. You're watching and rooting for Singletary.
Right.
And your lineup is made up of players all across the NFL on different teams. And therefore, as I say, you're rooting for players, not teams. You're willing to watch lousy games. You're willing to stick with the games longer in, even when they're lopsided. So why wouldn't the NFL love that? Why wouldn't the sponsors love that? Everybody wins in that sort of situation.
We're talking to Peter Funt. This is the book right here. It's Inside Fantasy Football. And this one is not for sale. Sorry. He's got the one without the thing on it. That's great. Inside Fantasy Football.
Is it like a DJ copy that says not
it's
for
a,
sale?
It's a press copy, Rob.
Okay.
It's a good press copy. Can you be a little less goofy when we're doing the football stuff, please? What is the most money you, Peter Funt, the Funster, what is the most money you ever won playing fantasy football?
I suppose you want an honest answer.
I do.
Because it would be fun to tell you about my wonderful $2 million win.
Yeah.
In fact, it's more like $2.50, Mike. I don't really do this for money, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good enough at it. I do it for fun. And, you know, there's $20 here, $30 there. I think last year I was net positive about $100 on the season. But, you
Why
know,
not?
In my book, there's a whole chapter about big winners. And these guys have won multi-millions. There's a professor at the University of Connecticut. His name is David Bergman. He teaches business. Why not? Economics.
Right.
And he has won over $20 million playing fantasy football.
How does someone do that? How is that even possible?
Remember, he's playing the so-called daily fantasy version where there are big prizes. This is not a so-called recreational league that you play with your friends. He's playing against 180,000 other participants, probably on DraftKings. He's paying $20 each time he puts in a
right.
lineup, and it's just for 1 week. But he has theories. He's written his own computer software. And the interesting thing is he's won all this dough, and yet he continues, bless his heart, to teach at UConn. And he teaches a class in which he tells the students the tricks to fantasy football. And at the end of the semester, they get to play against him. So
wow.
What a world, right?
What a world. And he can get it. You can get yourself a great house around Storrs, Connecticut for, you know, if you got $20 million in the bank.
Sure.
You can
do
it.
You can live in a palace in that part of the state. I grew up in that part of the state. I know what he's talking about. I'm from Glastonbury, Connecticut, right outside of Hartford. I'll give my my hometown a little plug right there.
A shout.
When you're talking about you reference in this book Inside Fantasy Football just how many YouTube channels are dedicated to this. I believe you tell us it's north of 600 now that are talking about this. How do you weed out the garbage from the stuff that might really help you out, said the man that was standing by pen in hand getting ready to get more information?
It is tough. It's become a jungle of real information, pseudo information, and outright fraudulent information. And it really falls to the fans like us to try to figure it out. I guess the answer is, what movie critic do you believe in? What restaurant critic do you obey? Mm-hmm. What book reviewer, et cetera, et cetera. It's trial and error. You put your money where someone's mouth is who you seem to trust,
right?
And you take your chances. But I should point out before we go any further, guys, that my book is everything you might want to know about fantasy football, except how to win.
Okay.
I don't know the secrets. I don't pretend to.
Well, that makes it credible for me, Peter. That makes it credible, you know, because you're just explaining the ins and outs of it, as opposed to saying I'm going to give you the golden ticket.
Yeah, I saw that while there were so many books, magazines, YouTube channels, etc., about how to do this and how to do that, I couldn't find anything that told me the story. How did this start? Who are the big winners? Who are the celebrities who love fantasy football? What's the role for women in this game? How does AI come into play?
I'd love to know more about that. That's the thing that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Is it having an impact yet? Is AI having an impact yet?
In the early stages. I mean, as I said, guys like David Bergman have written computer software to help them get an edge. But I interviewed some folks at IBM who are working with ESPN on trying to take the AI dimension further along. And I was curious because I don't know if you remember, but many years ago, IBM built a computer that played chess and had a very famous match against the world's greatest chess player. And in the first match, the guy won. And 6 months later, they had a rematch. And the computer won because in the interim, they had tweaked it and made it so much more powerful. And today, there's not even a chance that a person could beat a computer at chess. And my question was, is that where we're headed in fantasy football? And I asked these people at IBM. Well, for one, they were not willing to give me the straightest of answers.
Really? That's interesting.
But
that's
my interesting. Sense of it is, they have not really figured this out. Yeah, they can tell you if this player statistically is better than that player. And, you know, things like that, strength of schedule and historical data. But they have not yet figured out how a computer could play me in, say, daily fantasy and be assured of winning. And may I say, thank goodness for that. I'm kind of scared of all this AI.
Yeah, it would wreck it. It would wreck it. And, of course, you're talking about, I think what you're talking about really are the intangibles that you would talk about in any analysis of a game.
Based on an unpredictable element, which is the player. They have good days and bad, and there's no way that can be predicted. You can't predict disease.
I used AI to pick my team this year.
Really?
And I am 1-2.
Really?
So it did not work.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I don't see how it could just because of, on any given Sunday. That's the way
this works.
Did
the Giants use AI this year? Because they're also 1-2.
Hey, you know what? The Giants, in my humble opinion, if we can get off the, you know, the subject of inside fantasy football for just a second.
Yeah.
I have to say that Malik Nabers, based on what I've seen so far this season, will go down in history as one of the greatest Giants receivers ever. And I say that if he doesn't get injured and it goes. And of course, you got to factor in the injuries with that as well. Now, listen, we've been talking about football, but we got Rob up in the upper right hand corner here. That's going out of his mind, Peter, because he is the man lives in the past. The man lives in pop culture of the past, and he was out of his mind excited to ask you about another part of your life that was very significant. Rob, I turn it over to you for a moment. We'll get back to the fantasy for just a second, but please, go ahead. There it is. Uh-huh. Turn it
smile,
up, Rob.
Mike. Thank smile. You. Yes. Smile, you're on Candid Camera. So
remember
your
that?
Father, Peter, Alan Funt, created Candid Camera, which makes you... And you worked with your dad, so you're really part of an amazing television legacy. Mike, did you know that Candid Camera started as Candid Microphone on radio? And from the debut, it ran for 67 years.
One of the greatest concepts in all of television. I mean, it really
people caught
really
in the act of being themselves.
You get tired of talking about that, Peter, or do you like talking about the history?
Boy, I better not get tired. That one good idea that my dad had put us all through school and helped buy my house. And no, I'm and I love my dad. He died in 1999, but we still remember him and with great ease because he left such a robust library of Candid Camera material. It's on our two YouTube channels. We have nearly 500 different sequences on Candid Camera Classics. And then we have 100 or so more on Candid Camera Gold. And these are two YouTube channels. We're also working, as I always am, on a new wrinkle to bring the show back. And we're in discussions to do that right now.
God, do we
it's
need
one
that
good
show
idea
right now.
That just never dies.
I think, like, and it'd be great. It would be great to have that back on television, and I would love to see it. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
I'd like to run a quick clip, just a portion of a clip. It features you, Peter. I think you were about 16 or 17, and the gag was here, hidden camera show.
Oh, this is great that you got you got one with him in it. That's awesome.
You're pretending to be a statue in an art gallery, and people are suspicious of you as the statue.
First, take a good look at this Roman statue. It's clad in Roman garb from head to foot. It's almost absolutely stationary. As a matter of fact,
Peter
you really
the Great.
Have to look sharp to see any movements at all. This man standing around the gallery felt it. Now, this was very tempting, even for a statue.
And the guy gets kicked
still
in the ass by Peter.
Funny.
So funny.
All these years, still funny. You remember, I wouldn't be, how could you not remember that, right?
I was scared to death. It was very, very difficult to, you know, at that stage of my life, my dad used me occasionally on the show when he needed someone young enough, nimble enough, dare I say, stupid enough to be put in some of these situations the other grown-ups on his staff didn't want to do it. So there I was as the statue. And the tough part, of course, was I had to keep my eyes closed and yet sort of sense what was going on around me. So it was a baptism of fire for me. I will say that later on in my adult career, I did personally over 400 Candid Camera sequences myself and hosted 250 episodes on CBS. But I'm not at all surprised people keep throwing that statue thing back
in. Oh, my God. I saw the look on your face when he put it up. Here we go again. We are talking with Peter Funt. The book is Inside Fantasy Football, the story of what has become a national phenomenon and something that I have just been on the outside looking in that I want to get into because so many people are part of that. I think the worm turned with the NFL with the acceptance of wagering. I think that's also been a boon to fantasy football, hasn't it?
Don't you think that the NFL always embraces things that makes them money? They like that.
They do. I believe
they're very happy. And once they figured out, like you said, that it benefits the sponsors and it benefits the players and it benefits the game and money,
right.
Of course they're going to embrace it, right?
Are there any celebrities in your book that people might be surprised are avid fantasy football players, Peter?
I don't know how surprised they'd be, but there certainly are a bunch of them. Seth Meyers, for example, is really into fantasy football, and he plays in a so-called recreational home league, not for big money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. He's got 12 guys in his league. They played for decades as friends. And what happens is the winner each year is the only one who does not have to travel, because at the end of the year, they have their final ceremony at the winner's home. Everybody else has to fly to this spot.
That's
and last
great.
Year, the winner was in Upper Minnesota.
In the winner.
But there's a lot of them. Will Ferrell is a big fantasy football player. John Hamm loves fantasy football. In fact, there's a picture in my book of Hamm on a Zoom call because he was shooting a movie somewhere halfway around the world.
Still getting into it.
But yeah. He was getting into it. And look, John Hamm is not only a talented but a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And yet, take a look at this picture in my book. I have never seen a more disheveled, depressed, and trouble-looking individual.
Absolutely. You mentioned in your book also that I found interesting the number of players that are in the NFL that play fantasy football. And that it just strikes me as, is there any fear among the people you've spoken to about that kind of overlapping? Do you see
has
or
a
do
bad
they
history
see,
betting on
yeah
sports.
I mean, it's just, well, I mean, you got a guy, you mentioned the guy from the Jaguars, I forgot the name right now, I'm sorry,
it's Travis Etienne
who is an avid player and makes the comment about sometimes, you know, betting against himself. That to me, it seems to be a bit of a red flag. What are your thoughts on that, Peter?
Well, the NFL was smart to put a $250 limit on how much the players can win or play for in fantasy sports, because they realized it was impossible to stop them from participating, but they felt they could put a limit on the winnings. And therefore, if they do it, if the guys do it, it's just for fun. It's not for big money. So there is a $250 cap. I don't know who's keeping track of that or policing it, but that's the rule anyway.
Going back, I have one more question I'm dying to ask about your father. Because it's, I'm well, sorry to do
the
it.
The answer is he was a sports fan, but he never heard of fantasy football.
How many of these interviews? I don't want.
Actually, that's not
laugh.
The question,
Peter's
but it's a good point.
Right.
Your dad has such a legacy by inventing the concept of the hidden camera that has gone on to yield shows like TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes, and more recently Punk'd. And even news programs where they record people, what do you do in this situation? Or the hidden camera sort of thing. Was he aware of his legacy at the time of his passing and what he had set up? And was he bitter that so many people ran with it?
I don't believe he ever heard the term reality TV.
Okay.
And he didn't really have a focus during his lifetime of what he had wrought.
Okay.
I mean, many people credit my dad as being the inventor of not only hidden camera TV, but reality TV in a broader sense, which nowadays has come to mean so many different things. My dad originally was in this because he was a student of human nature, and he really enjoyed the scientific side of watching how people handle a little bit of stress, a challenge of some kind, nothing mean, cruel, or heavy duty, but just an experiment. That's how he got into it. As he got more popular on network TV, of course, the network and the sponsors wanted a greater entertainment component.
Sure.
And that's when the gags got a little bit more elaborate and a little more comical. But still, when he felt he was doing his job right, and myself included, we never wanted to be mean-spirited. We never were laughing at people per se. we were sharing a laugh and celebrating their good sportsmanship in letting us put it on TV. So he would be very, very depressed about a lot of things that we see now on TV, derivative formats, but also on social media and TikTok videos and all sorts of stuff. Now, it's a free world and it's a big world and different things for different people. But if your question is, did my dad have any idea about the monstrous thing he might have been unleashing? I think the answer is no.
Why did you decide to write the book about inside fantasy football? Because I was surprised right off the bat when you talked about, you know, you do it for fun more than the money itself. What motivated you? Were you just fascinated with the topic? Were you a big football fan? Where did it all come from?
And Rob, we'll get back to Candid Camera in just a moment. I feel like we've got dueling.
I'm doing the best I can, Peter. He wanted to talk about
people
it.
People need to know about the legacy of your father.
I understand, and I'm a big Alan Fund fan, and I'm a big Peter Fund fan. yes.
I wrote the book. You know, I wrote a book previously, several books. One is about me. It's called Self-Amused. And that was fun.
That sounds like an interesting title.
I wrote a book more recently that's called Playing POTUS. And it's about comedians and impressionists who have impersonated U.S. presidents from Kennedy to Biden. And in fact, the book came out last year. And we're now finishing up a documentary that'll be out in a month or so, I hope, that's about this very interesting segment of entertainment, and we call it Playing POTUS. So when I was finished with that project, which was quite intense for me, I thought, I need a labor of love here, something that's not necessarily easier, but maybe more fun.
Right. Yeah.
And I was getting more and more into fantasy football. And I thought, as I said earlier, there were so many books and magazines and stuff that tried to tell you how to do it, but nothing that really hit the nail on the head about the bigger picture, the bigger story, the insights, et cetera. So I thought, hey, I'm going to give this a try. And I was very pleasantly surprised, Mike, because the deeper I got, the more interesting it became. I thought I knew a lot about this, and the more interviews I did, the more people I talked to, the more I learned about the origin story, which if there's a whole chapter of people buy the book, they'll see about how fantasy football was invented in Oakland, California in 1962. And they played their first league competition in 1963. And these were guys who worked for and one who was a part owner of the Oakland Raiders.
Wow.
And they formed this league, which they called the Greater Oakland Professional Pigskin Prognosticators League, which for short, or sort of short, was GOPPL, GOPPL.
GOPPL.
And that league still exists today. And I interviewed the commissioner of that league. And amazingly, the rules back then are not very different from the way we do fantasy football today on ESPN or Yahoo or whatever the platform is. And but it's too much to tell now. It made a great chapter in the book. And when I realized, wow, this is a real thing. It's not just, you know, a trivial game. Maybe it is, but there's a lot of meat on this bone and a lot to read about, think about, talk about. So that's why I wrote the book.
I'm trying to get one last one for you to see if you know your own.
Oh, we're back.
Oh, another glossary thing.
Here,
I know. I mean, because that was the best one. Because I didn't.
I better get out my book here for the answers.
God, I feel so left out. I don't.
I'll let you off the hook, Rob. I will get you. I will give you the last question because you can ask if you want. Because
wait, let me guess.
And you've been very. Yes.
Let me guess.
Okay, go ahead. Anticipate.
So, yeah, Rob, you want to know, speaking of my dad and his legacy,
right,
are people harder to fool today because they're so savvy about media and technology and whatever?
That was not the question, although can I have
probably
two?
A better question than one you had, Rob. That's probably a better question.
Thank you, Mike, for that.
You're
but yeah, are they harder to fool?
No, they're a lot easier.
Because they're dumber. Because they're dumber, Peter. Because they are dumber.
You're not going to get me to say that.
Okay.
What you will hear me say is multitasking.
Right.
There, yeah. You know, my dad used to work hard to distract people over here so he could pull his little prank over here.
Right.
Nowadays, I find people are self-distracting. They're on their device and they're thinking of three things. They're easier than ever to fool with a simple little trick. I'm sorry, Rob.
That's
what
okay.
is your question?
My question.
This is fun. I'm having a good time.
I don't know if this is an urban legend or not, and I'd love if you could settle this for me. Is it true that your father was once on a hijacked airplane?
Oh, that's very true.
Okay,
wow.
could you thumbnail that story for Mike?
Yeah.
Because I think he would find it. I didn't know if this was true or not.
I've never heard
so,
that before.
It's so fantastic.
It is true. It is true. What a remarkable life he had, both on camera and off camera. And this was very much off camera. He was flying late 60s. He was flying from New York to Miami to shoot a candid camera sequence. And midway in the flight, there's a ruckus in the cabin and a guy with a butcher knife to the throat of a flight attendant marches with her up the aisle and into the cockpit. Remember back then the cockpit door was
easy to open.
Sure.
And everybody realizes something's wrong. Pretty soon the captain comes on the PA system and says, folks, we have a guy here who wants to go to Cuba,
yep.
And we've decided we're going to do what he says, so we're going to divert to Havana. Well, everybody in the cabin is just freaking out and saying their prayers and wondering what's going to happen next. And all of a sudden, a woman up front where my dad was seated turns around, recognizes him, and stands up and announces to the crowd, hey, everybody, this is Alan Funt. This is all a joke. We're on candid camera.
Oh, no.
Now, my father
no, you can't write it.
My father was scared out of his mind to begin with, and now he's just paralyzed with fear because
God.
Not only is a hijacking in progress, but the passengers aren't even taking it seriously.
Oh, my God.
Well, the next thing is that the hijacker hears such a ruckus going on in the cabin that he sticks his head out of the cockpit door there. And what do? They give him a big round of applause.
Oh, no!
Because they assume he's a candid camera actor.
Oh, my God.
So, end of the story is they make it safely to Havana. The military police take this guy away. Then the plane flies on safely to Miami. Everything's okay. But as they're leaving the plane in Miami, this troublemaking woman turns around to my dad and wags her finger and says, smile my ass.
That's awesome. Peter, thank you so much for taking some time out to talk to us today. Peter Funt, author of Inside Fantasy Football. I know you do it at the beginning of the season. How's your team doing so far? Good, bad, medium? What do you think? Three games in.
Yeah, my two main leagues, I'm 1-2. So I'm not dead yet, but it's a rugged start. Mm-hmm. The NFL is getting less predictable every season.
Yeah. That's great, and that's great.
Yeah, and there's more parity among the teams. So that idea about it any given Sunday, or as the case may now be, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday night, whatever. On any given day, anything can happen. Maybe that's for the better.
I think so.
I'm crossing my fingers, guys.
All right. That's awesome. Peter, thank you so
much
for talking to us.
What a pleasure, Peter.
Get yourself a copy of Inside Fantasy Football, America's favorite non-contact sport. And Peter, continued wonderful ideas for books. And I hope you find a home for another reboot of Candid Camera.
We'll be there.
We'll be watching it. Thank you very much. That's Peter Funt, ladies and gentlemen. We will take a break. When we come back, we've got the round table down here in waiting for Hurricane Land. The whole state is actually waiting for Hurricane Land. That's the way it is. That's
look for hidden cameras, Mike. Make sure it's not a fake hurricane.
That it's not a fake. Absolutely. It's a big mother. And we'll talk about that also later on in the show. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back. As a parent, I don't need to tell you how busy I am or how busy you are. That's why you need NurtureLife. NurtureLife is a meal delivery service focused on helping busy parents easily feed their babies and kids from 10 months old to 10 years old. The company provides fresh meals and snacks that are delicious, nutritious, and fully cooked, ready to serve in just 1 minute. NurtureLife lets kids enjoy a healthy diet while still eating all of their favorites like mac and cheese, spaghetti and meatballs, and so much more. Michael loves the corn dogs. Corn dogs. So what sets NurtureLife apart from other meal delivery services? It's how amazing they taste and how healthy they are. And it's even allergy friendly. It's about time that a flexible meal subscription existed for babies and kids. So head to NurtureLife.com and use code TMOS for 55% off your first order. That's right, 55% off. Once again, that's NurtureLife.com, 55% off. And make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you. Do you have a promo today, Mr. Spiewak?
None promo today, just time to get to the roundtable.
Very exciting. That was a great interview. And
God, he was
Rob
neat.
Wins, Josh. Rob wins with the last question. What a great story that is. And I don't remember it. So I do remember I'm old enough to remember the hijackings, though. That's where they used to go. That's before the age of horrible terrorism. They used to hijack these planes and take them to Havana. I remember
I was
that.
On one hijack flight. It was a TWA, and they hijacked it to Herndon, Virginia.
Yeah,
it was scary.
A man-made community. And it, thank God it landed safely. We're very, very excited. Let's get started with the roundtable, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Here we go. We start today with very, very bad news, and this speaks to also the NFL and traumatic brain injuries and concussions. Brett Favre revealed yesterday that he has Parkinson's disease.
So
that's
sad.
Been directly tied to the concussions. Brett was testifying before Congress about a welfare fraud scandal that he's caught up in. He's not actually facing any charges, and he's already repaid more than $1 million in funds that were allegedly misspent. Favre says he was a victim, too, scammed by a biotech company. But that's not the big story coming out of this. Favre said it was a cause dear to his heart that got him involved in this, which was a concussion drug, and that he got scammed as well. Now, that he also said, even though it's too late for me, because I've recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Did it
really,
surprise
really
you that he revealed it in that way?
It did.
A subcommittee or whatever it was? I mean, that was like normally someone of his import, and he was very important to the game.
Yeah, he was.
They would have like a press release, or it would be more coordinated than that.
He turns 55 next month. He played 20 years in the NFL.
I think it's part of them trying to link concussion to Parkinson.
Yeah.
Could be.
And I think bring it all together.
Yeah, there are more and more and more examples of it. And, not totally conclusive yet, but, I think you just look at these players that have had it. The Parkinson's Foundation says scientists believe it's caused by a combination of genetic and environmental factors, which could include head injuries. So we don't know.
Remember, there was a movie about it a few
years
ago.
Muhammad Ali is the greatest example of Parkinson's and head trauma, but it's still, definitive. It's tough. It really is.
It's hard to tell when the NFL quashed that movie the way it did.
Yeah, the one with that was a Will Smith movie.
The Will Smith
movie,
yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So maybe also if you get hit in the face in an awards ceremony, that can also bring on Parkinson's.
Yeah, it can, a brain injury. You never know. Sad, though, and we wish Brett Favre the best. During a recent press conference, Johnny Depp said his life became a soap opera. He was at a film festival in Spain promoting a movie he directed called Modi, 3 Days on the Wings of Madness. It's about an Italian artist and his struggles in Paris during World War One. Doesn't that sound like a typical Johnny Depp project?
Yeah, it does. Very deep.
I play an Italian artist, my struggling during World War One.
Does the artist Johnny have long, dirty hair, Mike?
Johnny said, quote, look at my teeth.
No, he didn't say that. Johnny said,
It's funny you say that. You know, I saw a thing.
Yes.
And I think he got his teeth corrected.
There is a rumor around social media that he did. Each character, this is Johnny's quote.
Each character has their story because I'm sure we can say that I've been through numbers of things here and there. Maybe yours didn't turn into a soap opera, televised, in fact.
He had a quote, but
we all go through what we go through.
And then he drank an entire bottle of wine right there.
Remember
chugged
all that
the
nonsense?
Whole thing. Chugged it.
All that nonsense went down in Fairfax.
Yes. Yeah.
That was
absolutely
crazy. That's right near us. Nuts.
Poop on the bed. What do you do? Poop on the bed.
Coyle.
What do you do?
Who was the, was it a baseball player Coyle. That did it on a birthday cake or something?
Sparky Lyle. Whose cake? Was it George Steinbrenner's cake?
I just remember.
It was some sort of Yankees cake and Sparky Lyle. Oh, by the way, we'll get to it. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to congratulate him right now. Let's congratulate the man himself, Mr. Josh Soroka, who is his team.
Playoffs back-to-back, first time in years, Mike.
How excited
years.
Are you, Mr. Soroka?
I'm very excited. I'm ready to go up next week for some games. And even better, my T-shirts that I've been dealing with for forever finally launched last night since the Orioles won.
That's awesome, and congratulations, and no better team to beat to get there than the Nueva York Yankees, and I wish you the very best with my season as the Boston Red Sox fan, going right down the old crapper. Yeah, so that's why I couldn't
tell you. Speaking of which, Mike, back to the cake. Yes. I remember it being in a book. It was in somebody's tell-all book about baseball. Could it have been Euchre's book?
I think it was Jim Boughton. I think it was, God, I should know this, but that's the big story. I don't think it was Euchre. I think it was Ball 4. Jim Boughton, Ball 4. That's
and
what
I remember
in.
The phrase, Coyle.
Coyle. Hey, Coyle on the cake. Congratulations to the Orioles, by the
way.
Well, and from what I can see, trying to find out who that player was, Lyles was known for whenever it was anyone's birthday in the clubhouse to sit on it nude.
Fun. Sunny days.
And also, after Googling that, Josh, just for fun, clear out your search history and your
clear
cookies.
Clear out browser.
Yeah. All right, so there's a bloodbath at Paramount. Paramount Global is the name of the company. It continued on Tuesday. One of those anchor guys from CBS got bumped. He was the weekend guy. He was originally the anchor, got pushed out by Nora O'Donnell.
Gore. They need to reduce the staff since they canceled 60 Minutes. There's just not enough jobs.
Tuesday, this happened. Yesterday, the struggling media giant kicked off a second round of layoffs in its previously announced plans to cut 2,000 jobs. Broadcasting is so much fun. Paramount's co-CEOs, bastards.
Good job to have.
Bet they're not taking pay cuts. George Cheeks and Chris McCarthy and Brian Attention sports fans, do you love winning? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million members. It's super easy. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, sit back, and watch the winnings roll in. How about a guaranteed win every week in September? Yep. Just one, yes, one, Caleb Williams passing yard gets you a win each football weekend this month. That's 4 weeks of easy W's. But don't sleep on it. This deal vanishes when September ends. But wait, there's more. Worried about injuries ruining your lineup? Relax. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. If your player leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, your lineup stays in play. No more stressing over those unexpected injuries. This weekend, I'm taking Derrick Henry for more than 70 rushing yards.
and Daniel Jones for less than 193 passing yards. Two picks I feel great about. The best part is you can win up to 100 times your money with just four correct picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today, use code TMOS, and get $50 instantly when you play just $5. That's right, $50 free just for giving it a shot. More winning, less stressing. Prize Picks is where the fun begins. With MyBookie, you're not just watching football, you're cashing in on the action. Risk-free bets, thousands in cash prizes, and epic rewards every single week. The best part is you can bet on any game, anytime, anywhere, straight from your phone. Check out MyBookie.ag and use our code Mike O'Mara to get started. It's MyBookie's 10-year anniversary, and they're rolling out the red carpet for bettors. Bet big and bet confident with risk-free Thursdays. If your boosted bet doesn't hit, you'll get your money back. Weekly, no sweat, win-win bets all season long. For those of you who have been playing with MyBookie, they've got something for you too, a brand new loyalty rewards program. In MyBookie Plus, it's simple. The more you play, the more you earn. And as you progress through the tiers, unlock exclusive promotions, epic giveaways, and cash back in your account. Make your football season a winning season with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, only with MyBookie. Remember, MyBookie.ag and promo code Mike O'Mara. No spaces, no apostrophe. MyBookie. Light them up! Robbins.
Hi, revealed- I'm George Cheeks.
Hi!
You're fired. So saith George Cheeks.
They revealed in a memo that 90% of these reductions will be complete by the end of Tuesday. So it's slowing down. How'd you like to be like? They're going to hold on to the last 10% for Christmas, probably, right?
Yeah,
that's the way they'll do it.
Well, yeah, they need them to keep this, keep everything running,
keep the lights on. Here's the quote: "Like the entire media industry, we are working to accelerate streaming profitability while at the same time adjusting to the evolving."
As a former CBS employee, I have a comment. Yeah. If I can have a moment about that, and that is.
They finish by saying, "Days like today are never easy. It is difficult to say goodbye to valued colleagues." We do it anyway. "And to those departing, we are incredibly grateful for your countless contributions." At least they got a memo. I didn't get a memo.
George
didn't
Cheeks,
get a memo.
George Cheeks then said, "Watch Matlock on CBS Sunday nights."
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Jeff Glor is already working on his next podcast.
Yes, Glor, welcome to the world. Welcome to where all the misfit toys go, Jeff. We welcome you with open arms. A 7-year-old boy in the UK was denied a passport recently, and his parents were told it was because his name relates to a trademark or copyright. His name, Loki Skywalker Mowbray. And the Star Wars reference was intentional because he was born May 4th. May the 4th. Be with you,
yes.
They were told they'd have to get permission from Disney or change the boy's name. The family wasn't so hot on either of those options, especially because they weren't trying to get anything out of the name. They just thought it was fun. The story picked up steam, and eventually the authorities emailed the family and said that a passport would be issued. It had just been delayed. And since passports are in the news, for anyone who cares, I just got my renewed passport with my new passport photo, and my neck looks like a camel's scrotum, if you're curious about that. I'll bring it on tomorrow's show. I'll show you. It really does. I mean, I know I've got a, you know.
Is it a black and white or a color photo?
Two color photos. Yeah, I don't know. I just got it. But there's one black and white.
What happens is they take the one photo and put it in the passport, and I think they use the other photo on file. So you have to get two made. I think that's
very good.
How it works.
It's the same picture, but it's two copies. I don't know. I'll show it to you tomorrow.
We're
all renewed
too,
though. So Cabo, hey Cabo, coming to you, Cabo.
Corn on the Cabo.
Yes, sirree.
Josh, do you have a passport?
I do have a passport.
Let's all bring our passports tomorrow.
Very exciting, ladies and gentlemen. Behold, the pool table pickup truck.
What is this?
For only $9,000 on Facebook Marketplace, this beauty can be all yours. It is a 1990 Ford F-150 regular cab, and it's located in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, please get it right.
Welcome to Cookeville. Yeah.
That would that be because they have stills in Cookeville?
No, it would be because there was a white supremacist named Cook that lived there.
Jack Kent.
Cook. Hi, welcome.
Well, I would like to welcome you to Cookeville. What have I been saying?
You're not a white supremacist, Squire.
Peter Funt is a charlatan.
Why? No, you don't like fantasy football? Oh,
a fantasy football polluting the game. Once again, proving that Tennessee is a leader in innovation. I didn't read that earlier.
What does that say? It again? Clearly, please.
It's a pool table pickup truck. Once again, proving that Tennessee is a leader in innovation. Yes. Not only does it have a sweet pool table instead of the bed of the truck, but the ad says it comes with jacks, so you can make sure the table remains level. That's cool. You can jack it up to make it a perfect pool
table. And here it is.
There it is.
That seems like it would be way too high to play pool.
It's called
it?
The Hustler. What a perfect name for it, you know?
Named you after Jackie Gleason.
What's amazing is how many billiard table trucks there are when you go to Google.
Really?
Lots of people have done this, apparently.
That's exciting.
The important thing, Mike, is to make sure the balls are in the pockets before you accelerate.
One of my hobbies that I do... One of the hobbies that I do when I'm watching, the magic computer, I love looking at houses. There's another one. Look at that one. That's a different one.
This guy is showing you, though, that it is the right height to play.
Well, yeah, and that also looks like it's a little askew, though. Looks like the lower pocket might be a little higher than the left part. So, I don't know. Can you put that picture up again one more time? I want to read what's on back of the truck.
Always behind the eight ball, it says.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, I have a bowl of pool balls in this very room. Did you know that?
No, I actually didn't see the memo on that one, Rob.
Mike, what happens is it's like...
Is there anything not in that room?
You two guys. It's instead of like a fruit bowl. And I like to play with the balls. It's nice.
Isolate that one.
Well, okay, hold on. I'll show you. You finish the story.
Here we go again. Now he's getting something.
I love show and tell.
This is show and tell. He's just like, his goal is to show something from his room every day.
Once a week.
On the show. Maybe once a week. Maybe once a year. That's what I would like. Here it is. The bowl.
The bowl of balls.
Filled with it. And for those people not watching a video, why don't you click two of the balls together to make that pool sound?
We did not plan this.
All right, let's go. Click them together, Rob. Click them. Here we go. No, like that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Pretty.
Right. So it's the Hustler. Go ahead and buy it if you want to spend the $9,000.
There's the five ball. Too big to fit in your mouth.
Not sure. Well, you don't have a big enough mouth.
Or I'm working on it.
Absolutely. Finally today, what a pity to be pretty.
Yes.
The gorgeous people of the internet have lamented the alleged disadvantages to life that come with their good looks. Contrary to popular belief, of so-called pretty privilege, what we hear about, you know, if you're good-looking, life
you
comes
know who's
easy
pretty
to you.
Is is that country singer with the red hair.
Which one? What?
The one that you have a button for.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you, Josh. I was sleeping at the wheel.
Hey, everybody. This is Reba McEntire.
On Reddit, a thread asking folks their physical appearances, what was your horrible experience for being attractive? That's a thread.
Yeah.
And that's gone viral with a bevy of answers because there are a lot of people that feel that there are bad things that happen to pretty people. Some were understandable, particularly around the recurring theme of unwanted attention. We all hate that.
Yes.
Except for Rob. Rob likes as much as he can get. He does. He does. Yeah, you like attention. That's why you post things all the time. Mike, I'm at King's Dominion. Find me with a turkey leg or whatever that is, right?
Well, you see, Mike, it doesn't have anything to do with being pretty, though.
No. No, it does not. That is.
See?
I can
verify.
And I am thinking of you already on the pool deck of the downtown Graham with your...
Thank you.
Jelly roll, Costa. I can't. Oh, that's going to be a cocktail.
You are so screwed up in your head.
I'm sorry.
And Mike, I'm already picturing you at Christmas when you're going to dress as a leprechaun and hand out sausages. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to do the Naked Greed money grubbing radiothon. Did I get that right?
Yes, you got it. Cocktail hour.
Cocktail hour, October 5th, 7 p.m.
And Josh is going to be Beetle Josh, and Rob is going to be Jelly Roll. And I have not yet decided what I will be, but it will be something fun, I guarantee you. And, of course, we will nakedly be soliciting your questions for a donation for the show
as we
underwrite our trip to Las Vegas, which has suffered from the inflation woes that we go through. We're going to have about a couple hundred people there, and we're excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we want to still get as many on that pool deck as we can till they call the fire marshal. So that's what we're going to do.
Mike, you should dress up as a guy who has a pool table in his pickup truck.
It's a wonderful idea. All right, so unwanted attention. Another person who works with children said they hear the same from parents, too. This person said they've been accused a few times of flirting with men when I'm literally just doing my job. I don't want your crusty ass, ma'am. Some days I barely don't want my own man, they wrote. So the lady's saying, I don't want your crusty
ass.
It says a man.
I don't want your crusty
I don't want
ass
your
man?
Crusty.
Crusty ass man?
I guess so.
Like crusty ass is an adjective.
Oh, I don't want your crusty ass man. Some days I barely don't want my own man. That's what the pretty person wrote.
Yeah. Crusty ass. That's a hyphen, I think.
In another, because it's got a hyphen there.
Yeah.
The hyphen.
In other cases, users recalled the harshness of small criticism after rejecting someone themselves because, of course, pretty people have to reject.
Yes.
Constantly. It happens that way. They said being attractive enough to get hit on, but when you're not interested, they pick out something to make you feel like S about so they don't feel bad about being rejected. Well, that's, you know what? Boo-hoo. That's called life, pretty
Must
people.
Be nice.
It's life. Everybody has to deal with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a website dedicated to people hating on your ass every day, for God's sakes, like I do. Come on now.
But
you don't hear me bitch about that, do you?
Right. It doesn't bother you at all.
It doesn't bother me one little bit. I just let it roll off. I don't let that bother me.
You do that because you're so beautiful. They hate you because you're pretty.
When you're pretty, you're pretty and you got a camel scrotum for a neck. Life goes on. Hey, we have to take a break.
We
will come back with Rob Spiewak's World.
Thank you.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Rob's World. When we come back, you are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Every now and then, Josh will look up and open his eyes up wide on the camera, and I think I've missed something.
I hope
I haven't. I
the
get
meds are
insecure
good.
That way. Thank you. That's wonderful. We'll be right back, everybody. It's easy to be your best self with DermGlowSkin.com. Just one injection a week, and you're on your way to losing 21 to 26% of your weight while improving blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure. Plus, coming soon, sublingual semaglutide drops for those who don't like needles. If you don't qualify for semaglutides or tirzepatide, we offer weight loss with somorolin, or try NAD Plus in injection form or nasal spray. Took that this morning. It's like finding the fountain of youth. It helps combat aging at the deepest level. Hold on, what am I doing today? Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me.
Mike,
all right,
get
I have
rid
to
of
say
that
it
crusty
this way.
Ass extra
crusty
light.
Ass man of yours. I'm not interested in that. It helps combat aging
at
the deepest level.
Indeed.
That sounds terrible.
I think it's great.
Anyway, dermglowskin.com.
Yes.
Go see Carla. Thank you. Thank you
she'll
very much.
She'll help you.
Yes, she'll help you. It's what she does, people. Okay, you can turn your music off.
Oh, okay, are we done with that?
Rob?
That's good. Yes, Mike?
It's your time to shine.
Ah, well then you picked a good time because today is a big day. But first, I want to send a word of love out to the Subaru Corporation who sent me an email yesterday that said, hey, your tire is low. And I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. And I went and I checked and my front left tire was low. And I went and it had a small screw in it.
I mean, it sounded like they sent you a letter.
Well, no, but I mean, if you get an email.
You got an email.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it, when your car is emailing you and saying, hey, you better check
it. It didn't show up, in the car? It didn't
the
show you an alert?
The email came before the
That's how long since he's been in the car.
Now listen, I was driving.
That's
yesterday.
Exactly what it is.
Oh, you guys can invent reality
well,
all
wait
day
a minute.
Long.
If you are in a car
yes.
that has a flat tire, don't you get like the alert on your
Mike,
screen?
I was in the car when I got the email and I
explain
said,
how that worked.
Okay, I was driving into town yesterday and I've got my phone on AirPlay and I hear ding and it says you have an email, so I hit play and it says this is the Subaru Corporation of America. Your tire is low. And I said, weird, little big brothery. And is it halfway through the trip? And then as I get closer to my destination, the little yellow exclamation point tire pressure thing pops up on the car.
So it beat the email, beat the
yes.
sensor in the car.
Yes.
That doesn't seem right.
It well, doesn't.
It's probably more sensitive that the email is set to send at 39 PSI where the light lights up at 36.
Do you really Should believe be. That it wouldn't be a uniform low pressure alert?
I don't know, but it's just, it was weird. It was very strange. It was Mike, it was a screw. It was a screw in my tire.
There was a screw. Oh, God. You know what? Oh, my God.
Repairable,
my
though.
Tires.
Repairable.
You know, did I tell you when I got my nail in the tire that they tried to upsell me?
Yeah.
You know, right? And the guy was disappointed with that. Did they try to hustle you the same way they
my
hustled
tires,
me?
My tires are covered for 5 years, I think.
Oh, did you get the tire package?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I you know what? And that was pretty good. I felt glad. I didn't want to buy the tire package, but I felt good that it covered me yesterday. And by the way, Mike.
The hyphen, Webster's Dictionary defines, is a symbol used to divide a compound word or a single word.
That, of course, is John Wayne in an echo chamber.
Hey, everybody. This is Reba McEntire.
Also tonight, Mike, people have been waiting, and by my math, I think it's since February. Tonight is the night that I go see the Electric Light Orchestra with Jeff Lynne with the listener.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
You remember
awesome.
That way back?
That is awesome. I think that's fantastic. And you know what? ELO, I think you're going to see a great show.
I will have a full recap, obviously, tomorrow. The reviews for this concert have been.
And the dude is cool. We right?
The
yeah, guy, you vetted him and all that.
Yeah, I went to lunch with him and talked with him, and he's a nice fellow. There was one thing, Mike. There was one thing, is that he sent me he said, I'm going to send you the ticket. I've got it. He says, I've got a busy day, but I think we can probably arrange to carpool. And I demurred. I did not want a carpool. I'm not a big
either.
Carpool
not
guy.
Not that. Look, just that
I don't think I'm going to end up like in his trunk.
I don't want to be there for the whole. I'd like to meet him at the show. That's
the thing. If he's an early leaver and I'm not, or if he wants to miss the encore, and not,
exactly.
Right. It's hard to leave a date if you drive together.
Yeah, exactly. So I told him that we would meet there. So I'm excited tonight. And to anyone who is going to see ELO tonight at the Capital One Arena,
Rob will have a turkey leg for you.
No, Mike. Tonight, hard candy. I have cinnamon hard candies. Spot me and get a cinnamon hard candy.
All right.
And
have a pocket full of those.
Have you worked out a time for your wife to call you in case it's not going well? She can say,
"I'll
like,
I'll just fake a heart attack." I think he'll buy it.
Are you a concert finisher though? I've never been a concert finisher.
Well,
you'll stay till the bitter end if you're having a good time.
Well, especially I imagine that there's going to be a rather remarkable encore because this is a big lasery stage show type deal and so many good records.
I mean, is there an opening act for ELO?
It's Lizzo.
No, not really. What are you doing? I'm just asking.
I'm just asking.
When I saw ELO at the Naval Academy in Annapolis?
Yeah.
I will tell you that their opening act was Hall & Oates.
Wow. I don't know. I've not heard anything about an opening.
And it really wasn't an opening act so much as a double bill.
A double bill. Well, that's
still
pretty
good.
They were
both pretty popular back in the day.
And I do want to say this. Paul, who is the guy that's treating me tonight, don't listen
Paul.
To this. I said, can I pay for the ticket? And he just said, no, just come. It'll be fun. I want to give you the ticket. I want to do something nice for him. He mentioned in one of our emails that when he was a kid, he had a 45 of the song Sweet Talkin' Woman by ELO.
Okay.
That was purple vinyl. The first issue was purple vinyl, mm-hmm. and he doesn't know where it is. But I went deep into my archives and found this first edition of Sweet Talkin' Woman with purple vinyl, and I will bring it to him tonight as a present.
Oh, my God, what a beautiful, that's so kind of you.
And it's pristine. It's beautiful. It's got the picture sleeve and everything. So
does he know yet? I mean, he's listening probably.
No, turn back on, Paul. You can turn on now.
Okay.
But,
yeah. according to Google, it looks like the opening act is Rooney.
Oh, did he ever notice why?
No, not that Rooney. No. It's a good act. Very exciting.
Who is Rooney? Exciting.
Rooney's an artist.
And what's your favorite
Just
Rooney
making
song,
it up.
Mike?
What?
What's your favorite Rooney song?
Looks like their big hit was Maneater.
Well, that's also Hall & Oates.
Okay, yeah. I guess they did a cover of Maneater by Hall & Oates.
I guess yeah. Jeff Lynne has a type. Hit.
He must love Hall & Oates.
Yeah, sure.
Music. All right.
Well, anyway, so that's tonight. And also, Mike, the last thing I want to bring to you that I think this is big.
Yes.
They announced, you know Metro Rail? The subway system here in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I know those guys.
Hold your thought here. Good news. I don't know if you remember this, but 15 years ago, two Red Line trains collided, and there were several deaths. 9 people died. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, they've stopped the automated running of Metro trains. And now, effective, I think, in a couple weeks, they're putting Metro Rail back on automated pilot. So what could possibly go wrong?
That's very scary to me.
There will be
scary.
A person up there, but it's just going to be, you know, autopilot. And I don't know. It's been 15 years. Do you think is that asking for trouble?
That is how they got in trouble in the first place. And I don't know. I'd be very, very nervous about that. Yeah. I really, really would.
Wow. I was wondering if perhaps someone scary. Could stop by and talk about it.
I'll try.
Stop it! God damn it!
That means the door is really God. Opening.
Turned it off. It's off. Why do you come through? Turn that. I hate my computers.
That's Mike's phone going off. Red line. Red line going to Farragut. Farragut, but you're trying to
Hey, Metro guy.
Hi, Rob.
Just a question. Are you like an AI guy? Because it's on autopilot now.
Autopilot now. Accident coming. Accident coming.
Oh, no. You accident can predict
coming.
It.
Autopilot accident coming. I'm trying to do 10 different things at once, Rob. I wasn't real prepared today for the 10 o'clock show. Thank you, Peter Funt. Anyway, that's
hey,
it.
He was fantastic.
He was delightful. I love that. We got to take a break, Rob. It's time to go to break right now. Thank you. You're listening to the Michael Mara Show.
Do we have some big video coming up? Beautiful
we have
video.
A beautiful video coming up, and just waiting for you to find those big fingers, find that music. Just go ahead.
I was going to let the Metro take us to spots.
Oh, no. You do whatever you... All right, let the Metro take that. That's fine. We'll be right back with more fun and more thrills. Farragut West.
Hey, Orgain, want to tell you about that. Orgain, oh, so yummy, so delicious, so good for you. Eating better is tough, especially in this day and age. We're all running around. There's so many better-for-you products that taste like yuck. Well,
yeah.
There's a brand that has cracked the code on providing real nutrition that also tastes incredible. It's called Orgain. I love Orgain. Orgain's
wow,
30-
it's so good! Tasty.
Orgain's 30-gram protein shakes are an excellent source of complete protein with all 9 essential amino acids, and its chocolate tastes the best. It gives me energy, provides muscle support and recovery, helps manage hunger, and promotes healthy weight management. Orgain is convenient, real nutrition with only 1 gram of sugar per serving and no soy ingredients or artificial flavors or sweeteners. 30 grams of protein, and it tastes amazing. Chocolatey goodness like you will love. Orgain 30-gram protein shakes available at Costco and Orgain.com. If you want to get in on the delicious protein-packed nutrition today, head to Orgain.com/TMO. Once you're there, look around and get some Orgain in your cart. Then head to checkout, and when you're prompted to, use the promo code TMOS for 20% off your order. Thank you. Remember, for 20% off, head to Orgain.com/TMOS and make sure you use the promo code TMOS during checkout so they know that we sent you. Rewarding. That was rewarding. I have
Tasty,
to tell you
good,
that.
Yes.
Absolute fixie, fantastic pixie. That's wonderful. I appreciate that.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
We start today to be honest with you, this is the way I would like Carla to put me to bed. at night. This is it. This is okay. three young children, and they're getting the treatment. And well, I'm going to show it to Carla later on this evening,
ask
right before bedtime.
Okay.
Check this out. These cute little kids.
Are you ready? You ready? Okay, buddy. Ready? You ready? You're 18. You ready?
Mike, I'm no professional, but I think it might be more fun if you put Carla to bed that way.
Bada bing, bada boom. That's why the show works, folks, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. Hey, Tesla, Rob, we're gonna jump on the. Are you gonna jump on the electric train and get yourself a Tesla?
No, never.
Well, check this video out. If you look at this, this might change your mind.
Got a bit of a problem. Every time I walk away from my car and it locks itself, it farts, and I don't know how to turn it off. My husband and my son have done this, so if there's anyone out there who owns a Tesla who knows how to stop it from farting, will you please let me know? Here's what it does look. Please, someone tell me how to switch this off.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Gotta hand it to him. Way to go, Elon. That was probably Elon's fart.
That lady should read the instruction manual, though. It's probably not that tough.
You probably change it. Change it to whatever you want.
And there's no way that car comes with an instruction manual. They'll give you an app.
An app, right.
You're
there
right.
won't be any paper in that car at all. No way,
I
Jose.
Right.
All right, Rob, let's do this.
Okay, fun.
Let's get a gazillion, and I mean a gazillion golf balls.
Okay.
Then we're going to put a golf hole down at the bottom of the hill, at the bottom of the ski jump, and then we're gonna let them all go.
I love it.
And you're guaranteed to get at least one of them in the hole.
Yeah,
right?
I'm so in. I love stuff like that.
Let's try it right now. Let's let them go. Let those golf balls go.
Three, two, one, go!
And the golf balls coming! Golf balls! Golf balls coming!
Wow!
Good.
Oh, a bucket hat! Wow!
Go, son!
There we go!
There's so many!
Duh! Here they all come. That's my favorite shot right there. Here they all come.
Oh, we've had a few on the board. Oh, come
on. Now they're all going over the hole right now.
Yeah,
that miss,
too much
that
speed.
Miss, that miss, 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 miss.
No, they're putting too hard.
Way too hard.
Yeah.
Surely one went in.
Surely.
Surely.
2,000
surely
balls.
One went in.
And then
you know
understand
who was,
it.
You know who was there, Mike, that was not on camera was Jack Nicklaus. And he said, it's just a putt.
Hey, all you had to do is just a putt. There it goes.
Ronaldo, famous soccer player.
Yes, very famous.
He has a morning routine, and his wife was very nice to share the morning routine with us, and this is what the really one of the highest paid athletes in the world, one of the greatest soccer players ever to hit the pitch, does to get himself ready. Let's take a look
Keanu
at that right now.
Keanu wakes up early every morning, no matter what. He starts with a cold shower. It helps him feel fresh and focused. After that, he drinks a big glass of water, and then, without fail, he hugs our children. It's his favorite part of the morning. He always steps outside for a moment to watch the sunrise. It's his way of connecting with nature before the day starts. He enjoys his coffee, has a healthy breakfast, and then it's time for training. He spends hours working on his body, but what's amazing is he never forgets about us, his family. Between his sessions, he joins my live broadcast, and he's always playing games with the kids, making them laugh.
That, haha, make the kids laugh like that. Now, I
knew when I played,
one
one, ain't?
I put that video up, and I knew that people would say, well, Mike, you're one of America's favorite podcasters. If not the favorite of the world, you know? I mean, who needs Rogan when you got O'Mara, right?
Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest with you, okay?
And that's a T-shirt.
Isn't that a T-shirt?
Renato also only works a couple hours a week.
That's it. 2 hours a week. Josh adds a Mai Tai and him up and then puts it in a nice little package, sends it out to me via email. You can eat.
That's right.
People say, Mike, what is your routine like? Well, they said, don't ask me. I want to be just like Ronaldo, and I want my wife to tell you all exactly what my routine is, please.
Excellent.
All right, here we go.
Hey, guys. Mike also has a morning routine, and that consists of he gets out of bed. Once he gets out of bed, and that can be anywhere between 4:45 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Just depends on if he's had nightmares, nightmares or not. So, like this morning, he was up at 4:45. And he gets up and he toots. And then once he toots, he makes his way to the coffee machine. But before he does the coffee, he's got to do the dishes that are in the sink, the full sink of dishes. And then he mixes the coffee. Then he sits on his couch. Well, actually, his chair is leather chair. He sits down on there, puts his earmuffs on so he doesn't wake the family.
Earphones.
And he starts to watch videos. But the most important thing is he waits until I wake up to pour him a cup of coffee.
I make the coffee. She pours the coffee every morning.
That's almost halvesies, isn't it? She dirties the dishes, and you wash the dishes.
I wash the dishes. The dishes are my purview. That's what I do. And
you eat with her, and you fart.
I'm trying to get both wife and son to understand the concept of clean as you go when you're cooking your food. Hasn't landed yet.
No, Mike, if it hasn't landed now, it won't land.
I finished my little part here today with a comedian known as Gianmarco Sorrisi. Do either one of you know that comedian?
I've heard that the reviewers say he's so good.
Let's take a look. We finished my part.
Oh, no, we cannot listen to R. Kelly. R. Kelly is a pedophile. And now here's the thing. And just hear me out for one second. Technically speaking, R. Kelly is not a pedophile. Just give me one second. I promise this goes well.
I promise this goes well.
The term pedophile refers to people who are attracted to those that are prepubescent. Then there's something called a hebephile. That's people who are attracted to those in the early stages of puberty, like 11, 12, 13, 14. And then there's something called an ephebophile. That's people who are attracted to those in the later stages of puberty, like 15, 16, 17, 18. But I think the reason we don't make those distinctions is because it's very hard to explain the difference without sounding like a pedophile.
There you go. I love that. That was worth it. That was a payoff at the end there. That was really wonderful. We will take a break and come back with more beautiful right here. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. And by the way, hard candy for anybody who spots Rob tonight.
Cinnamon.
At the ELO concert. Where's it going to be again?
Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C.
Big one. Big arena. Big band.
Yeah.
Hey, let's face it. Everybody has to deal with bugs in and around your house. If bugs are even a minor problem for you, you have to check out our next sponsor, Pesty. Summer is winding down and the night's getting colder. Spiders, ants, other bugs are
creepy
looking to
crawlies,
find somewhere warm to nest. With Pesty's do-it-yourself pest control, you can make sure they don't choose your house. Pesty is on a mission to provide pro-grade pest control at an affordable price. With Pesty, there's no more waiting all day with stacks of cash for the bug guy to come in and rip you off. Don't let that happen when you can spray it yourself in a few minutes. Pesty makes a customized treatment plan for you based on your location's bugs and climate. They know what you have to deal with. And the best part, Pesty is kid and pet friendly, so you don't have to worry about their safety. Plus, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs for less with Pesty. Head to pesty.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's pesty.com/TMOS for 10% off, and make sure you use our promo code TMOS. So they know that we sent you, Rob Spiewicz.
Jerry Todd.
Now, if you were to describe me in one word, you would say it's
fabulous.
A hyphenate rule breaker, right? I know
this is
some beautiful video, but today I have to do audio for my first tape because there's no way the station is going to post
this. That's beautiful audio.
I like so many people, my day starts with the same television station. I think there are people that are Good Morning America people. For years, we were Today Show people, but now
we were. How could I love, we have wasted that many hours? I can't
so
believe
many
it.
Hours. Mm-hmm. I love Channel 5 here in Washington, D.C.
Local.
Love, yeah.
I do the same thing. I do local stuff. Fox down here because I like my local guy, and they stay on longer. They stay they on later, so that's the reason.
Steve Chenevie is a great anchor. I make no qualms about that. I love him, and he does a great
what do you
job
love about there. Him for those of those people doesn't take in the himself, rest of the country.
He's handsome. He doesn't take himself too seriously for a handsome guy, and he's funny. He's a funny guy. And
you know
I
who
think
I like better than Steve Chenevie?
Who?
Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire.
She had to come into the room, but yeah, I like her too.
My fingers. Jesus Christ.
So, maybe you could get a picture of your fingers for your passport.
These talons, damn useless 65-year-old claws.
Steve had a day today. I think the whole station had a day because we're having some weather up here in D.C.
Sure.
So first he had to deal with a Zoom call that was a disaster. And then, Mike, you hear about it in movies and in jokes and stuff like that. The only thing I can figure is that a lavalier mic was left live when someone went to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And you're going to hear a loud flush and someone blowing their nose before they catch it. So here is a bad morning at Channel 5. The only thing I did was altered the amount of time in the pause. I didn't boost any levels or anything. This is what went out on TV, and he doesn't even react.
Close your eyes and listen to the audio of the television.
Unless you're driving. Unless you're driving, don't close your eyes.
Does it work not as quickly as I thought it would? Like, what should we be concerned about? I think we lost Lisa again. We're going to try to reconnect with her. We'll see if we can do a little bit better there. But nonetheless, certainly a conversation to be had because there's a lot of concerns about it. And like Lisa said, especially when you have a drug that is used for one thing and not necessarily anything else, which is what we are dealing with in this case with Ozempic. So we'll try to reconnect with her, and we'll have much more on this Wellness Wednesday coming up.
And they can't hear it.
It can't be in his ears. He's too.
Yeah, that
he's
can't
too
be
can't be in his ears. You would be too much of a pro. You'd have to acknowledge the flush. You would, because it's so loud. Oh my God! It's like it's perfectly mic'd. Well, it's got a lavalier. It's got a condenser mic, basically.
Can we hear it one more time? Because I think a lot of people, if you're laughing from the flush, listen towards the end for someone blowing your nose. Does it sound like a male or a female nose blow? That's what I want.
That's a great question.
We can figure out who it is because there's not a lot of people on the show.
Does it work not as quickly as I thought it would? Like, what should we be concerned about?
Pause.
I think we lost Lisa again. We're going to try to reconnect with her. We'll see if we can do a little bit better there. But nonetheless, certainly a conversation to be had because there's a lot of concerns about it. And like Lisa said, especially when you have a drug that is used for one thing and not necessarily anything else, which is what we are dealing with in this case with Ozempic. So we'll try to reconnect with her, and we'll have much more on this Wellness Wednesday coming
up.
Dude.
That's a dude.
I think it is.
That's a dude. That's a dude blow.
I'm saying it's Tucker.
Because because guys are doing it's more like,
yeah,
right?
I know.
That's the big heavy that follow up. Sounds like a trumpet.
Bless your hearts, Channel 5, WTTG. Great
Way
job
to go.
Today.
Good job.
This is a throwback, but I wanted you to see it because this was one of my all-time favorite candid camera clips. This is a throwback to when we had Peter on at the front of the show.
Okay.
And this is so simple and so wonderful. When they just told people that were driving in a car into a state, they said, "I'm sorry, Delaware is closed today."
Then we get a man with a lantern and another fella with an official-looking hat. And he flags down the first passing car, and here's what happens.
"I'm sorry to inconvenience you, but they've closed the state of Delaware today."
"For what?"
"Well, the quota's filled. Any other state is fine, dear. You can go into Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey."
"What is this?"
"You understand, this is the barrier."
"Yeah."
"This is the state of Delaware on the left."
"Yes."
"This is the state of Pennsylvania on the right."
"Yes."
"You're coming from Pennsylvania to Delaware."
"Yes."
"But the state of Delaware is closed." "That's it."
"Well, never has been."
"They've closed the state of Delaware
this
today."
Guy.
"Yes."
"Yes."
"That's good."
"That's good."
"Anybody in, you see."
"In what area? How about the other up further?"
"No, every part. They're not letting any people into Delaware."
Guy on the right gets it.
"We work out of Delaware.
Well, tomorrow will be fine. We left the Barry at midnight. They gave us the ruling. That suits me. What's that?
That suits me.
That suits me. I love people were polite. People were more polite in those days, right?
And you know what? It really speaks to what our guest said, is that that's not a cruel, unusual joke like a punk thing. It's just how people react to something
absolutely
not expecting.
And it's still brilliant, and it holds up for all these years. That is absolutely wonderful.
What's not brilliant, Mike, if you're stealing it, let's say you're Mike O'Mara, not the disc jockey, not the podcaster, but Mike O'Mara the felon, and you're in Miami Beach, try to steal a car, and you get yourself locked in the car. Okay. I don't know how you do this, but the car you're stealing, you're stuck in it, and the owner comes out.
Walking out to your car and seeing someone else casually just sitting in the driver's seat. Well, that's exactly what happened to a man who then pulled out his phone and recorded the stranger behind the wheel of his Corvette.
This is not your car. This is my car. Are you trying to steal my car? What are you doing? You can't be doing that.
The bizarre incident happened yesterday in a parking garage near Washington Avenue and 16th Street. Oh. Police say Ravish Rabindranath was sitting inside that Corvette even after the owner confronted him. Police also say he tried to open the doors of several other luxury cars before finding the unlocked Chevy Corvette. Detectives say the victim owns an exotic car rental company and stores the cars in the garage.
Is that the best place to store exotic cars?
I don't know, but get that tape right out to J.D. Vance right now, ladies and gentlemen. Get it out to him as soon as possible. We need that, right? The only thing make that better is if he had a fried dog in the passenger side. That would be awesome.
A big Chinese food container.
Absolutely.
Like a dog's white box with dogs in it.
Dog's heads.
And it is a feature of the security system.
It'll
lock it in.
Comes out and the guy's just shrugging, like, dude, help me. He says, dude, are you stealing my car? A lot of dudes there.
He kind of hugs the steering wheel. Idiot.
Mike, here's what we close with. You may wonder, a lot of people are concerned about shrinkflation. And shrinkflation is where they don't raise the price of an item, but they make it smaller. For example, if you buy what looks like a half gallon of ice cream nowadays, it's not a half gallon of ice cream. They've made it smaller and they're still charging the same price. Well, you may wonder what a person looks like that is concerned about shrinkflation of Pringles. And this lady, she wants some compensation.
And a lot of people talking about shrinkflation recently. I've got a hot take. Pringles used to be bigger. And this isn't a whole, oh, you were just like younger and now you're bigger, so they feel smaller. I've been the same height since I was 13. This is like a within the last 5 to 7 years kind of.
First of all, if you're
the same height. Yeah, is that the scale she's using? That's kind of tricky, isn't it?
Does
she have eyes?
A lot of junk food, does it stunt your growth? Now, hold on. Growth?
All right.
Picture is telling.
That picture is credible. I was going to say same thing, Josh, because you look at that. Remember when they all sat?
Well,
she stacked up.
She brings it. Mr. Magoo brings that
in the last 5 to 7 years. Because since f-ing when can you have that many Pringles and they are able to fall into a spiral when there are that many left?
It just doesn't feel the same.
So, Mike, you better watch out for the Pringle people. They're going to get you. That's how they get you, Mike.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening and watching today. We want to thank Peter Funt, the author of Inside Fantasy Football, America's favorite non-contact sport. Not for sale. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. And
Mike, will you at least entertain offers on the book? I know it says it's not for sale.
Maybe we'll deal with that on October 5th. Huh?
I think that might be good. Keep it in mint condition.
Yeah. I will keep it in here right next to my costume. We will, reminding you.
It's upside down, Mike.
We have the TMOS cocktail party coming up on October 5th. It is the Naked Greed Money Grubbing Radiothon. And
cocktail
we look
hour.
Forward to a cocktail hour. Thank you. Naked Greed Money Grubbing Radiothon Cocktail Hour coming up on October 5th, 7 p.m. Rob's going to be dressed as Jelly Roll. Josh is going to be Josh, Beetle Josh. And I haven't determined it yet. But we really want you to come in and raise money for this show because it's
That's
what
right.
we do.
Yeah, what do you hear? You're always asking me.
Shut up.
The
Go to that other website.
Books.
Go to that hating website. Go. Have a knock your socks off. You hate me all you want. Go ahead. Have fun. What?
Remember, it doesn't bother him.
Doesn't bother me at all. Everything's A-OK. Everything's great.
In fact, I never do.
In fact, I never do. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.